Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16. In Matthew 15, excuse me, let me start that one again. In Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16, this in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.'"
As we read this verse, several questions instantly stirred in our spirits, and we feel prompted to pose those to you at the beginning of this call. First question, who do you say he is? Well, first you might say, he's my Savior.
Based on John 3:16 and also 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved."
Several other questions we talked about must be asked. Luke 1:47, New Living Translation. "How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior."
Amen. Do we think God is pleased at how we're rejoicing in our salvation? Well, if he's our Savior, how do we feel about 2 Peter 2:20? I'm reading this from the Contemporary English Version. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 says, "When they learned about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they escaped from the filthy things of this world. But they are again caught up and controlled by these filthy things, and now they are in worse shape than what they were at first."
This question begs asking and answering. Think about this now. Have we put away the filthy things of this world? Is there a pattern in our spiritual lives that we put down the filthy things for a while, then we pick them back up again? If so, does the enemy have us living in self-condemnation and guilt? If he's our Savior, his greatest desire is to give us relief from the sin that would so easily beset us.
Amen. Like it says in Hebrews 12:1, I love this. Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." If he's our Savior, how do we feel about 1 Timothy 2, verses 2 through 4, as translated in the Contemporary English Version? And this is what it says, 1 Timothy 2, starting with verse 2. "Pray for kings and others in power, so that we may live quiet and peaceful lives as we worship and honor God. This kind of prayer is good, and it pleases God our Savior. God wants everyone to be saved and to know the whole truth, which is."
Are we seeking his instructions in our spiritual development and growth? 2 Peter 3:18 in the Contemporary English Version says, "Let the wonderful kindness and the understanding that come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ help you keep on growing. Praise Jesus now and forever. Amen."
Amen.
Bottom line, he's our Savior. Are we acting like it? Second, we may say that he's the Lord of my life. Well, if he's the Lord of our lives, then do we consult him in every decision we make?
Ooh, good question. Philippians 4, verse 6 in the New Century Version says, "Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks."
If someone has such influence over us to be the Lord of our lives, then we'll ask him about everything we need to do. To know That's what we do.
In James 1:5 in the New Century Version says, "But if any of you needs wisdom, you should ask God for it. He is generous to everyone and will give you wisdom without criticizing you." That says a lot right there.
Yes, it does. If he's the Lord of our lives, you know, then really, are we always ready to share with others what he means to us?
Mm. In 1 Peter 3:15 in the Contemporary English Version, "Honor Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. Always be ready to give an answer when someone asks you about your hope."
Proverbs 22:4, Contemporary English Version. It really, honey, gives a powerful bottom line when it says, "Respect and serve the Lord. Your reward will be wealth, a long life, and honor."
Mm.
Here are 12 keys to who we are in him. Number one, we are priceless, bought by his blood. Revelation 1:5, Classic Amplified Bible. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince, ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who ever loves us and has once and for all loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood.
Wow. You are royalty, the child of a king. In John 1:12 in the Classic Amplified Bible, it says, "But as to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, and trust in, rely on his name."
Number three, you're wise beyond description because you have the mind of Christ. Think about this. 1 Corinthians 2:16, Classic Amplified. "For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge?" Here it comes. "But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart."
Mm. You are victorious in every situation. You are more than conquerors. In Romans 8:37 in the Classic Amplified, it says, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us.
Number six, you're fearless because your Savior and the Lord of your life tells you to fear not. There are 63 references to fear not in the King James Version of the Bible, including 1 Chronicles 28:20, which says, "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord."
Mm. Number seven, you are wealthy because he has given you the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8:18, everybody should have this committed to memory. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day."
Number eight, you are successful when you meditate on his word. Joshua 1:8, Classic Amplified. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then," that's key, "for then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall deal wisely and have good success."
Number nine, you are an ambassador. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God."
Number 10, you are unique in all the earth, one of a kind. Nobody has your finger or voice prints. Psalm 139:14 in the Classic Amplified Bible. "I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth, wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well."
Number 11, you are free because all your sins are washed away.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 in the Classic Amplified. "But such some of you were once, but you were washed clean, purified by a complete atonement for sin, and made free from the guilt of sin. And you were consecrated, set apart, hallowed, and you were justified, pronounced righteous by trusting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God."
Wow. Number 12, you are empowered in every situation by the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, Classic Amplified Bible. "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, to the ends, the very bounds of the earth."
Hallelujah. And lucky 13, you are blessed beyond measure. Psalm 45, verse 2 in the New Living Translation. "You are the most handsome of all. Gracious words stream from your lips. God himself has blessed you forever."
Hallelujah. So here's a question. Are we walking? Now let me make it more personal. Are you walking in your blessings? Do you know who he is? Do you know who you are in him? Are you exercising the authority that is given to you as a born-again child of God, claiming his promises? Can somebody say, hallelujah?
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And amen.
Amen. Go to HaroldHerring.com up at the top where it says soul seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. It's all we ever ask. Make sure you check out this week's two-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.